I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Michael K is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K Show.
Michael K is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Oh boy, Friday, March 29th, 2024, which would make this, though, let me do the math, 37 years ago, one of the great days of my life, one of the great, great moments of my life.
All right, wait, 37,
as Iron Sheik would say.
This should be fun with me and math. 37 years ago today would be 1987.
That's right.
So what happened? I guess it's a WrestleMania thing. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the first WrestleMania was 85 at the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
So where was it in 87? You were still in arenas then. I could be wrong. Or were you in Detroit?
We would there you go.
Pontiac Silverdome.
There you go. Look, you worked your way. You got, you know, you found your way there.
That happens sometimes where you just let me kind of think it out loud.
Let him cook. That's why the people, that's what the kids say. They say, let Don cook. And there's a reason. That's right. March 29th, 1987, the Pontiac Silverdome, the day Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant, also the day that I got to see Ricky the Dragon Steamboat beat Macho Man Randy Savage for the Intercontinental Championship. I actually didn't see it that day. My parents did not let me order wrestling. I got to see it, Don, a few days later because Miss Clemens, the teaching assistant in my second grade class, was sweet enough to record it for me and give me the VHS tape.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. I wonder what happened to Miss Clemens. What a lady.
You know, you should get together, because when you see my brother, it's very short, hi, bye, kind of how are you, how's the back of your belly kind of conversation.
Right? We don't get enough time.
I think you would really enjoy sifting through his VHS collection. He's some very, very, because I remember just as a kid, we got a VCR, I think, very early, top loading VCR in 1984.
Wow.
So my brother...
Is VHS, though?
This is VHS.
This is earliest VHS.
This is very early VHS, where, like, you had to go rent a movie, you'd have to, like, write a check for $100 and, like, deposit it to them. And, like, if you wanted to buy, like, a movie, it'd be, like, $79.99, like, crazy stuff like that. He would tape everything. He'd find wrestling on UHF...
Boom.
And that's where we discovered the whole Dusty Rhodes in garter belt and stockings thing was just he found it on like a Latino television station and it was all in Spanish and he recorded the whole thing.
Well,
he's got all that stuff.
Now, here's the question. Should I reach out to your brother and see if he wants to stop by if he's in Philadelphia already on Thursday?
He's going to be there. I don't know when he's going or what.
Their show. I know the big show there. Your brother's doing is on Saturday.
Okay.
So he may not be there by Thursday, but he may. So I may inquire there. By the way, just to put a bow on this little impromptu conversation that came up, we got a call yesterday from someone saying they were going to Philadelphia, but they didn't have tickets to WrestleMania. Where could they watch? And I have it. Chickie and Pete's, the famous Chickie and Pete's, but the location that's going to do it is 1526 Packer Ave in Philly. It's about a mile away, Don, from the Philly Sports Complex. They will be showing WrestleMania there if you don't get into the building.
I'm a Chickie and Pete's guy.
Oh, you are a Chickie and Pete's guy?
Yes.
I didn't know that about you.
Stone crabs. They got all kinds of stuff there. Very good.
Now, let's see. Oh, apparently your brother has a show on Thursday. He's running right up against me.
Hmm. But I just think you guys should just get together and share.
It's so deep. Hey, you know what we could share right now, guys?
What's that?
A moment. A moment called Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because the Knicks are in San Antone to take on the Spurs, with coverage starting at 7:30 on 98.7. The Devils visit the Sabres, and the Nets host the Bulls at 7:30. The Yankees take on the Astros at 8. I did all this reading without my glasses, by the way. I don't know where I left them. I got to go find those. And that's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast mature Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. We will talk about the Knicks quite a bit on this program. In fact, we will preview the Spurs game tonight with a true friend of the show. Michelle Beadle will join us at the bottom of the hour. Of course,
that's a good idea. I think, was that an Anthony vehicle?
That's an Anthony Pusick vehicle.
Very good job.
It's a producer producing. And, of course, she is a, as Don would put it, sick Spurs fan. She is a part of their broadcast team at times. Not much the second half of the season, but earlier this season, certainly. She's interviewed Wemby. She's been down there a lot. So we'll talk to Beadle, and we'll get into the Knicks. Another big Ranger win, we'll get there. But, Don, I think we'd be remiss. Speaking of the Rangers, in a weird way, the Yankee game reminded me of the Ranger game.
In what sense?
Because it just started out ugly and boring. Maybe more ugly than the Ranger game, which really 2 nights ago just started out boring. The overtime Ranger win, which started out as such a dull game and ended up being a thrilling victory. The Yankee game was more than dull early on. It was putrid. I mean, multiple times leaving the bases loaded. But then, Don, when it's all said and done, by hook or by crook, truly, in nasty fashion, through a hit-by-pitch, a walk, a great defensive play by Juan Soto, the New York Yankees end up winning 5-4 to beat the Astros in Game 1. And I'm sorry, Don, it has to make you smile if you're a Yankee fan.
Well, it's interesting because I'm going to play the role or try to get inside the head of the typical Yankee fan that just sometimes just can't find the positive in things.
And by the way, Don, this is the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Continue.
Now, there were some negatives, things that I think can be a little disconcerting. The positive thing is they were very resilient. They come back from 4-0 down, get a big defensive play, as you said, from Soto. The Astros threaten in the bottom of the ninth inning. They get the call at home. Review goes their way, and they get a win against the hated Astros. And we'll see what Rodon does today. It's about winning series, and they haven't done that yet. But if you win tonight or even get one of the next three, I think you take a split of a four-game series against one of the best teams in baseball. But for a team that is going to have to slug their way, they didn't really slug their way. They left a lot of runners on. Three of the first four innings, they grounded into inning-ending double plays. You know, couldn't get the big hit until Soto's RBI single made it 4-1. They got a run on a hit batsman with the bases loaded. They got a run with a walk with the bases loaded. So two of their five runs came as Astro gifts. But they put runners on base. They worked counts. Valdez didn't have it. They took advantage of it. They came back. So you're going to dissect it. Let's dissect it. There's some things that worry you. But overall, they're a really good team that beat another really good team, and they're 1-0. So I think overall, you got to walk away feeling positive. But if you want to be like Anthony Pusick and find negatives, there were enough negatives, I think, to have you gnaw at it until tonight's game.
I agree with you. There's no question about it. I mean, Anthony, of course, was just miserable from before even the first pitch.
Right.
But, I mean, listen, the fact that you, in these big spots, just had a couple of spots, just absolutely awful at-bats and key moments by key players, it stinks. And the fact that you needed to get the runs by Rizzo getting hit in the wrist and a walk, and that it comes down to the game essentially being saved by probably a bad decision by the Astros to send the runner, and then Soto with a great throw, Trevino with the great tag, you needed a lot to get it done. And you certainly can see the negative. But you also have to pull positive out of a gutsy Game 1 win. I mean, that's what the truth is. This Yankee team could stink. We have no idea. Or it could be a team that shows you even when they play bad, they find ways to win.
And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of Yankee fans are Ranger fans. And they, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, yeah, we won, but we've given up the first goal seven straight games. Yeah, but we don't, we're not getting any five-on-five goals from Kreider or Zibanejad. It's like you're held to a different standard because how good the Yankees have been historically and how good the Rangers have been this year. It's like, all right, we're going to compete for a championship. So you really go over things with a fine-tooth comb because you realize in order to win that championship, you're going to have to clean a lot of things up. So there's, but the one thing the Rangers have that you should get excited about is what the Yankees have, and they don't go away. You know, they may not win all the time, but that's a gutsy, fun win that you didn't expect to have down 4-0 going to, what, the fifth inning when you left a small village on the base paths, and then you find a way to be able to win the game, and more importantly, you hold on to it. Because what did Anthony was, they took the lead in the sixth, right, and they held on in money time, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings to be able to win that game. So there's something to be said for resiliency. Because those are the teams that win championships. Those are the teams that are very difficult to kill. And I know it's just one game, but that's a resiliency. If that's a quality this team is going to have in 2024, you're going to love it.
Exactly. That's the way I would choose to look at it. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For pain-free life, is samwellpain.com today. Obviously, perfect world. You know, you come out and game one looks like the Orioles game. You know, that's what you love. You love to come out and win 11-3.
I hyped that final score up. I think me being included in the hype video, I want to take an assist on that win. Can I do that?
So you are. So well, let me just throw something at you first, though. I want to give you the option here, just okay, so you have a chance to back up. They did have an emotional pregame ceremony honoring the people who lost their lives in the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. So they did have an emotional ballpark. Now, I don't want to take anything away from what you did, Don.
Well,
you did a lot.
Well, thanks for taking a little humor and just completely darkening it up to the point where it was almost morbid. The fact that I was trying to take an assist was a goof. But then you throw that, you know, Brooks Robinson not being there for opening day for the first time because he passed away during the offseason.
I didn't even think about
that. I was just asking. I didn't say I scored the goal. I was asking for, like what they call a hockey an assist. I was trying to get the secondary assist, okay?
Oh, no. You deserve.
But then all of just a shroud that you just threw over the whole thing.
That's a shroud.
That's a bad guy move. Now I look like the villain. Now I horrible announcing is going to write about it.
Let's talk about horrible
on a sad day in Baltimore. LaGreca tries to take assist in 11-3 win. Oh, thanks. What's Mushnick going to write?
Oh God,
big ego LaGreca trying to take credit for the win.
Oh, the training wheel's gotten too big.
Yeah.
Let's, you know what, let's switch, let's change subjects. Let's go to,
shall we?
Let's go to Ken in Connecticut, who just wants to start off. We're going to get more into the Mets after 4 o'clock, but he has a haiku again. So I thought it was a good starting point for the program.
You know what? I say that is after every win, this should become a K-show tradition.
I like it.
That's cool, guys. I mean, I'm more than happy to do it. But just real quick on the Yankees before the Mets haiku. Yeah, great teams find a way to win. There's a lot to be improved upon, but seeing that win unfold the way that it did, that was very nice for game one. I just hope it just continues to roll on. But anyway, so Mets haiku. Expectations? Meh. Be All-Star break relevant. Farewell, Alonso.
Is that it?
Thoughts?
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, haiku is like 575.
575.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm not feeling like I did the Yankee one.
No.
Maybe because it was just very negative.
The passion is there for the Yankees. I tried, though.
But I felt it. I felt it. Well, all you're looking to do is to get some sort of a feel. Yeah, and I got it. I got a feel. It wasn't a positive one, but I got a feel.
There was still feeling there, though, Don.
Yeah, exactly. He got it.
I love the idea that we could, moving forward on this show, have a full-time haiku guy. I mean, you talk about separating yourself.
That's where is he still there?
No.
If this is going to become a thing, he's got to pick a show. I'm not sharing him.
Oh, that's a great point. So he's been doing this also?
One of them has to be your favorite. I'm okay if it's the morning show, but pick a show. I can't have the, you know, part two every day where he does it in the morning.
Hold on, both days? Are you telling me that both days he called both shows and did the haiku?
Yeah.
No, he's out. He's, you know what? I never want to call again.
That's a little
makes me sick to my stomach.
It was something Sean Avery said. I'm not going to repeat it on the air, but like that kind of sentiment, right, Peter? When you're getting seconds, I don't want that.
Yeah. I'm joking. I'm not saying you can ever call again. But if you're going to do the haiku business, Sean, dude, you got to pick a show with a gimmick. You can't
you gotta
try
pick
to
a team. You
got to
pick
guy.
A candidate.
You can't be the gimmick guy on everyone's show. I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah, but Richard and Ira call every show. Yeah, well.
Yeah, but they don't have a thing. They're just calling every show because they're maniacs.
Right. They're absolute lunatics. They call every station.
This is becoming a thing. Like, you're not going to go campaign for Biden and Trump. You're going to pick a candidate.
You got to.
Right? You don't have, I'm a Met and Yankee fan. You know how we feel about people like that. I'm a Jet and Giant fan. We don't go for that. So pick a show, and then I'll live with it. If he wants to pick the morning show, great. Have fun. You'll add certainly something to them. But I'm not going to be playing number two the whole baseball season because it's the same audience, right? The idea is people driving to work or now driving home from work listening to us. Our audience deserves better.
Guys, I have some bad news.
In what sense?
Jacob tells me he called Bart and Han yesterday, too.
No. No.
All three shows.
He's called. Well, you know what? You know what? It's a bad job by you guys. Then we yeah. should maybe just not put this guy in the air.
I think this has become an our problem now.
Oh, this is just really upsetting. Honestly, to think that's how I started. Let's see if I can get this right. No, I can't. Let's go to Ben in the East Village. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Don. Happy Friday. First time.
Hey, Ben.
I just wanted to give Oswaldo Cabrera... Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. I think Oswaldo Cabrera is not getting enough shine after last night's game. I mean, of course, Juan Soto is the big hero. Everybody played overall really well, but that home run to tie it, man, that was crucial. I think that should be talked about a lot more by a lot of the Yankee fans. Everybody loves him for his morale, which is great, but he's been really putting in the work this spring, in my opinion. And looking forward to seeing what he does this season.
Yep.
I agree with you.
Over a long season, it can't just always be about Judge and Soto and Stanton. That if you're going to win, you're going to need guys. And that's always been what this team has been able to accomplish is finding the guys that get the opportunity through injury to come through. Didn't happen last year, but it's happened in the past. And he definitely deserves his flowers. They don't win that game without that home run.
Let's go to JJ in North Carolina. He's been setting things off well.
Yeah, I enjoy his work.
Yeah, I always wanted to, ask you, Peter, about the Rock and then get to Michael thinking he's I'm dead to him. But okay. Rodon, I think he can, this is like a huge, huge game, I think, to see if he can prove it. If he's worthy of this team, obviously it's not the end-all, be-all, but the Astros have a lot of really good hitters that hit off lefties well. So if he can, you know, go five innings, two runs or something and not get completely lit up, I think that will be a huge, huge mark of confidence for Yankee fans. Peter, did you see this video of The Rock after Raw went off air?
Oh,
I wanted
sure
to ask you, you think I think he's putting a lot of, I think he's going to be here a while because he's not just doing, like, the, you know, typical, like, show and just, like, go off and, like, you know, go do whatever. He's putting a lot of effort into this. And, like, you know, he's cursing and, like, you know, he's going through, like, the whole, like, rigmarole of, like, after all the air and cursing. It's great. I wanted to know what you thought about that and if he's going to stay a while longer. And for Michael, I know he's probably listening right now.
Sure he is.
And I wanted to say, I don't think, I said, Peter, you were a better interviewer than he was a few days ago. And I might be a little wet on the subject because I'm only 22 and I didn't get to, you know, experience his journalistic days. Michael did. So
What are you backing? So now you're taking the compliment away from me?
I still stand by it, but you're probably, he's just as good, and you know he's very qualified. And I just wanted to say I have no hatred towards Michael. He probably needs he's probably knee deep on the third string catcher of the Astros.
Thank you, JJ. JJ, we hear they're playing you out.
This is not the JJ that I was learning to fall in love with.
He didn't bring it today.
Bring it. He's taking it back. I mean, the idea is you have an opinion. You don't make a bold opinion and the next day call back, take it back, and apologize for it. Let's own these things, man.
That was a tough call.
That was rough, man.
We need someone to really get us going today, and I'm going to take a monster risk.
Okay.
A risk that some people would think is just insane.
I'm not on board with this, but go ahead. I'll support you, but I'm not feeling good about where I think you're going.
There's nothing better than early day dick. Richard?
Hi, Don. Peter, one of the most amazing sports days I've ever witnessed. Start with the Yankee game. All down 4-0 to Houston. Bases loaded, top of the fourth at Houston. Judge, I heard Michael's call. 3-0 count, he stands there. The ball's 5 feet off the ground, yet he thinks it's a strike. Pete Rose would have been on first base in a jiffy. He's standing there waiting for the umpire to call a strike. Michael made note of that. Okay, the pitch got further in the inning. Bases loaded, one out. Verdugo is up. This guy Valdez can't throw strikes. He is way out of the strike zone. And by the way, how did Houston manager brought him out in the fifth inning? He should be fired for that. Anyway, Verdugo on a 3-1 count. All he has to do is stand there. I would have stood there taking the pitch. There was no way. He grounds into a double play. Yankees come back and win that game. That's unbelievable. Then we got the Islander game. Down in Florida, they're one of the best hockey teams in hockey. Down 2-0, and to come back and win that game was unbelievable. Then I'm listening to Don's game. Rangers are down 1-0 to the Stanley Cup champions in Colorado. Come back and win that game in a shootout. That was unbelievable. And finally, the Alabama North Carolina game. North Carolina is up by 10. Now, unbelievably, Alabama comes back with this unlikely guy that they got. I forgot his name. He was an unbelievable player at the end. Which sets up an Alabama-Clemson game. Now I'm saying to myself, Alabama-Clemson Big Eight? Final Eight? That's got to be a football thing.
Yeah, it has to be, right?
Clemson-Alabama. It's got to be Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence. What a night of sports last night. You can't top it. That's what makes it so great. Fellas, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Richard. I mean, I love the passion.
We got to start over. What time is it? Can we start over?
3, 2, 1.
All right. We're gonna. You know what? You know how we're gonna start over? We have Ken back on the phone. Ken, we're told that you're ready to make a decision. With all due respect, prostituting yourself all over the station.
That's right.
I have been a bit of a floozy.
And we're told you're ready to make a decision.
Yeah, we need you to settle down. Make an honest show of somebody.
There is one show that brought me in to sports. And Don, Michael, you were that show. And Peter, like you've helped out along the way, too. If this becomes a thing, I am more than grateful and happy to make this the one show where haikus happen.
Wow. How do you feel about that, Don?
I like it. We asked him to make a choice. He made a choice. So you're committed to us. And so your haikus, you can call the other shows, but the haikus will be exclusively
haikus.
A Michael K. show vehicle.
That, you know what? If you're cool with it, I'm more than cool with it as well.
Right.
You guys are the best. So I'm just glad to be a part of it in some way.
I say let's do this.
Wow.
Can't wait.
I'm prepared. I'm locked in. Are you, Peter?
Yeah, no, I'm on board, Ken. Good work. You made a decision. You stood for something in your life. Good for you.
I'm still reeling from the Richard call, though.
The Richard call? I mean, Richard, we love you, man. But
there was not one miracle last night. A baseball team coming back from 4-0 down in the fourth is not a miracle. All right, that was a nice Islander win. But they also beat a team in the Panthers that have dropped 5 of their last 6 games, and they're really banged up. All right? The Avalanche are not the defending Stanley Cup champions.
That's the
Vegas Golden Knights are.
That was the miracle.
And you know, down 1-0 going to the third. I they blew a 2-1 lead also in the third. I don't think. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a bad guy, but with everything going on, the tournament was a complete rumor to me yesterday. So I don't see. He wanted a 4-for-4 miracle. I didn't see one.
I watched a little while. Was there a great game last night? The first two games bored me. And then I had therapy. And then Alabama-Carolina was a gem. Clemson, Arizona, good game.
That's the game he's talking about.
So three very good games, it looks like. But, God, Richard, with all due respect, you know how many great nights there have been of the tournament all time?
Well, but it was, you know how many great sports? I mean, it was a great sports day locally. Yankees won, Islanders won, Rangers won. But he made it seem like that we'll never see another night like that again. It could happen today.
Were any of the close games decided by like a last second Villanova style buzzer beater?
Again, I wouldn't know.
It was a rumor to you.
Well, I mean, I had the Rangers.
I feel like my phone would have blown up if that was the case. I'm just being honest. I feel like the text would have. I would have woken up to text.
He exaggerated. It was a nice sports night with some things that you didn't think would happen. I don't think anybody had the Yankees winning when the Islanders were down 2-0. But you know, when the Rangers went in the third down 1-0, was it impossible for them to win the game?
Listen,
no, it was not.
Listen, here's what we're gonna do. We're going to start over again when we come back. It's going to be...
I mean, open the music like this.
No, let's start the show again. We're going to start over again, and you're going to see for the 3:30 to 6:30 show that we're going to put on.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be one for the books.
It really will.
And let me start right here by saying that the baseball season is now here, but you're still holding on to that winter weight. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed the fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get doctors T's personal email and phone number. Locations all across New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET and lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. That's 855-5-NJ-DIET. 855-5-NJ-DIET or schedule your consultation at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer and without any shots. Go to njdiet.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're starting the show over again. Can't tell. Man. We have
Happy
to.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everyone. We are going to try this thing one more time. Peter and Don on the K-Show. We are going to get to your New York Mets coming up next hour. We'll talk some Mets. Mets find themselves down 3-1 against the Brewers.
Getting one hit.
Not what you want.
One hit's a homer, but still.
Still not what you want. So we'll do some of that. We have a lot to talk about with regards to the New York Knicks, who have a big game tonight. And coming up next, we'll talk to our old friend Michelle Beadle about the game against the Spurs tonight. But right now, we're going to go back to the phone lines, and I think it's going to be really, really strong, this whole segment. Let's start with Alex in the UPS truck. Hey, Alex.
I'm not as noisy as last time, huh?
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Everyone was kind of killing the Soto trade because he'd be a liability defensively, but he came out and made a good play last night to kind of steal the game. Felt kind of good to see that. So all those fans that said that, go scratch yourself. Thank you.
I love it.
I love the nip.
Scratch.
My theory as a pop psychologist, I guess, just out of nowhere, the people that downgrade Soto are trying to grease the skids for how they're going to feel if he leaves. I never really wanted him anyway. He was overrated. Like, that's where I think that comes from, Peter. So when he signs a $1 billion contract with the Mets during the offseason or somewhere else and leaves I never wanted him anyway. He was overrated defensively. He's an analytic guy. That's all that is. If you can't appreciate the kind of player he is, then you're just preparing for the worst.
Because, I mean, it's very clear this guy's going to be really good. Stadium suited for him. Walk year. He's also been great his entire career. It's kind of a no-brainer. Let's go to Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Hi.
How you doing?
I have listened to this show from day one, and I think it is the best sports show that anybody can listen to. Every day at 3 o'clock, I turn on Yes, and I say, yeah, these guys can, and they're going to make me feel good because I've been educated on all the sports that you talk about.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And my question to you guys is, what do you think the odds are if Judge can stay in for the whole season, break his own record?
I mean, the odds aren't good. I understand why he would be on the table because he's getting protection in the lineup from Soto. But he's not going to play every day. That's just not how baseball is designed anymore. It's when you look at the history, even Barry Bonds, it's difficult to hit that many home runs in that close proximity. It just is. Now, can he hit 50? Yeah, he's done it, a couple of times already. But, Peter, to break his own record, to hit 63 home runs, I mean, the odds are clearly against him. I would not bet on that at all.
Well, there's several things. Number one, it's just hard to have a season like that. Number two, you know, Aaron even being healthy for an entire season is something that sort of, you know.
Well, but he did say if he's healthy all year. I mean, obviously, that would make it, I guess, a possibility. But, you know, Peter, those things happen once in a generation. It's hard to believe he'd be able to do it. You know, because if he broke it this year, it'd be two of the last 3 years. It's just it would be incredible. It's everything has to come together for that one season. You know, for even all the steroids and everything, Peter, it still doesn't happen. Even guys hitting north of 50 home runs multiple times in their career, it just doesn't happen. It's a really difficult record to break, and in making it clean, because if you take Sosa out, you take McGuire out, how many guys have even really approached deep into the 50s? It was Stanton did it the 1 year, Griffey I think did it, and obviously Judge. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't. I don't even. What would the odds be, Peter?
Plus can't
what?
Even
10,000? It would be incredible.
Well, Anthony, why are you trolling me?
What did he do?
He just wants me. Mike in Clifton. Hey, Mike.
Hey guys. I wanted to get Dodd's opinion. I didn't like Stanton in the four hole yesterday. I just thought he looked terrible. I was wondering, you think the Yankees are going to make a change? Maybe put Glaber back in the cleanup?
If Glaber hits, yeah, I think there's a chance that he can get
loose. After, you think that's on their mind after one game, though, Don? That's the question.
I mean, he didn't like it. He didn't have a great game. I get it. I was thinking, I'm not going to jump, Mike, because I was thinking, I don't know if that's going to work. But he came into camp strong. They gave it a try. If Glaber has the kind of year I think he's going to have, I think he's better suited for fourth. But I don't think they're going to give up on it tonight.
Okay, but that's, Don, you having that opinion is totally fine. But it has nothing to do with yesterday. Like, one day can't be what you're talking about.
But if you felt that, right? Like, I don't like that. It probably made you feel like you were right to have that opinion after yesterday. But I'm not going to give up on one day.
I just don't know.
The problem you have with Stanton is that if he's not going to hit, nowhere you put him is going to be good, except on the bench. You know, because he'll always end up coming up in a big spot. But the idea is that you want to be able to load up. You like the whole, you know, the power there. What Soto can bring you, what Judge can bring you, and then you got Stanton. And if everybody's hitting, I guess that's great. But if Stan's going to be like he was yesterday, which I'm not going to judge his entire season based on one game, no matter where you put him, you're not going to be happy. God, these uniforms are really ugly with the names, Peter.
Which ones?
You know, the MLB.
Oh, just the new look in general.
The new look in general. But it's not even the thing that just disgusts me about the look is the tiny names on the back.
I know what I'm saying? It's like noticeable, huh?
Yeah. Everybody complained about it, but like seeing it in actual, you know, now you're up north, you're playing. Like you look at, you know, McNeil, just it's tiny print. It just looks bad. I don't know why you would like it.
How could they? I just don't understand how that mistake gets made. That's the thing that kind of boggles my mind.
Well, it's some sort of a style I guess they think works, but it doesn't work for me.
Let's go to Alex in Orlando.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hope you guys are doing good.
Good. How are you?
Happy opening day for the Mets. Not a Mets fan, but I just wanted to, you know, I know Don's a big Mets fan, so I just wanted to say happy opening day to you, Don.
Oh,
real quick, man, I agree with you. So I know on what you were saying. I just add that to the list of things that I just have an issue with Rob Manfred. These jerseys are really bad. And then on top of that, yesterday was exactly the reason why I advocated for a Juan Soto coming into the team, because he's just a gamer. And, I mean, he didn't do it exactly with the bat except for the fifth inning. He did obviously break in, got our first run, but he also did it on the field. And, you know, using you guys with that mentality, also including Verdugo, I appreciate you guys taking my call. You have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, listen, you're adding one of the best hitters in baseball history. I mean, they compare him to Ted Williams. Of course he's going to help. He's a gamer. He's 24. He's already got a World Series. Why would anybody complain about Juan Soto?
You'd have to be a maniac. Let's just be honest. An absolute maniac. Speaking of maniacs, Michelle Beadle. Who you know from her years at ESPN, from her time on the Michael Kay Show herself.
That's right.
From so much more. She's coming on to talk about the Spurs Knicks, but let's be honest, Don. She's just coming on to pal around with us and have a good time.
Right.
So,
you don't even need a reason.
I know. Michelle Beadle is next.
Team awesome.
That's Don and Beadle, in case you didn't know. That is next. But Don, talk to me about jewelry.
Now, London Jewelers is hosting their annual wedding band event from Thursday, April 4th through Sunday, April 7th. All wedding bands are 20% off. Brand exclusions may apply. The 2x London Wedding Band Collection has something for every style and budget. Come in or call for an appointment at any of their locations, Americana, Manhasset, Wheatley Plaza, Glen Cove, East Hampton, Southampton, Westfield World Trade Center, and the Mall at Short Hills, where you can enter for a chance to win an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night honeymoon for two at any Sandals resort. The best deals are at London Jewelers from April 4th through 7th.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Real quick tournament update for you, brought to you by Schweppes. UConn is off to the Elite Eight after a dominant 30-point win over San Diego State. That is your tournament update presented by Schweppes. Schweppes offers above-the-rim refreshment and is a proud sponsor of the Big East Conference. Enjoy the madness and take a break from the hoops action with a Schweppes seltzer or Schweppes ginger ale. Every week, I have the pleasure of spending 1 hour with our good friend Michelle Beadle. We do a podcast called Over the Top. I recommend everyone subscribe to it. It's a mix of sports and pop culture, and me and Beadle just kind of breaking it down for the people, and we have a great time. And then a couple weeks ago, we had dinner. Michael K. just showed up, almost stalker-like, to say hello. So the only person who has not gotten to hang with Beadle is Don.
Right.
So we're using the Spurs game as an excuse
Why
to
not?
Say hi to Michelle Beadle. Hi, Beadle.
Hi, guys. Yeah, no, I like this. But I feel like Team Awesome should not need an excuse
right.
to hang. This is kind of garbage.
It's just weird because no combination of you, Peter, and Michael is Team Awesome.
Right.
Exactly.
But
you know what? What I love most about Team Awesome, Don, is that it never dies, and it will live on way past our time on Earth.
See, the thing with Team Awesome is that we know not to show up the way Michael K did to your dinner with Peter. Like, awesome people don't do that.
That was a surprise. I was very pleasantly surprised to see his face there.
Wait, be honest, though. It was pleasant, but it was also a little weird. Like, you were actually legitimately kind of shocked.
Oh, I was. I mean, I hadn't seen him in forever. So it was kind of a shock to see him. I was honestly, Peter, I was honored that a man of his stature and busy level would take the time.
We all feel, and by the way, we feel that way when he shows up to this show. Now, Beadle, hopefully he's back on Monday. Now, Beadle, let's spend a little bit of time on the supposed subject at hand, and that is your glorious 17-56 San Antonio Spurs playing against the New York Knicks. Did you expect, first of all, did you expect that Wemby would be this good and that the team would be this bad?
Yes, and kind of. I will say this. Since they got back from the All-Star break, and I know I'm putting lipstick on a pig right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. They've definitely been a different team and a more sort of cohesive team unit. They've gotten some decent wins. I mean, look, this Spurs team beat the Suns 3 out of 4 times this season. Let's not sneeze at that, gentlemen. But yes, they're not good yet. Wemby is life-changing and an absolute pleasure to see the things that he is physically capable of doing in year one. And I'm in it for the long haul. So, you know, get back to me in a couple years when we are back to our dynastic run. I'll try not to gloat, you know?
I got the call. I got to do a few Nick play-by-play games, and one of them was the Spurs game at the Garden, and he is just captivating. He really, and because listen, there's plenty of basketball players that captivate you, but he does it in such a special way because with his size, the things that he can do, it's really just freakish. It must be, even though they're losing, it must be just an absolute pleasure to watch him every night.
Yeah, because you kind of know, like, you know, you knew even when the draft occurred, even when the envelope was opened, you're like, all right, this is going to be a great future. But it wasn't necessarily like, oh, the season's going to start and we're going to dominate. I didn't think that. As a matter of fact, when they won a few games, I was like, wow, are we ahead of schedule? And yes, I am dropping a lot of wheeze right now. I'm off the clock. But it was just sort of one of those moments like, oh, they're ahead of schedule. They're not. They're very much on schedule, I think, the way it was supposed to work out. But I'm with you. So there are times watching him where my eyeballs and my brain aren't connecting, because what we think a guy that looks like that's supposed to be doing and what he does do, they don't always match. And I think that's what makes him such a fascinating watch in the league right now. He's a physical being, and he's also graceful. Like, he's just, you know, a mere mortal. I'm obsessed a little bit, but I'm also obsessed with the Knicks, so tonight is it's a beautiful thing for me. Not gonna lie.
So wait, so what do you pull for on a night like tonight? Do you, I mean, at this point, why bother get wins if you're the Spurs, right?
Yeah, I mean, totally, yeah. They are getting accidental wins. Although at this point, I think you've secured a nice spot near the bottom. Should be all right. And this isn't exactly the kind of draft that you write home about anyway. So it is what it is. They got the blessing of the decades last year. But tonight you root for the Knicks because Spurs don't need to win. Wemby can have a great, glorious night. That'll be fun. You know, just cement his rookie of the year status because that is what it's going to be. And then the Knicks need the win to catch up to the Bucks because I find the entire Eastern Conference run right now a fun watch. It's not as jumbled as the West, but there are definitely things of interest. And, you know, I've been saying it, my two favorite non-Spurs in the league, and it's not close, are Jokic and Brunson. And I think that if you watch this Knicks team and you don't find yourself rooting for them, even just a little bit, you're heartless because they are a joy to watch. They have one of the few podcasts, athlete-hosted podcasts, that I think is worth a listen with Josh Hart and Brunson. They're just funny dudes, and they're relatable. And I've seen Tibbs smile, like, at least six times this season, and that's kind of record-breaking.
It's interesting to get the perspective outside of New York from you, even though you do have New York in you, so it's a little bit different. But I just wonder, does the rest of the country share your enthusiasm for this Knicks team? Because history tells you that they haven't been a great team, haven't been a consistent team. Nobody wants to go play for them. But has enough happened this year to where they can become a sexy team to people that don't root for them?
I mean, I think this is the kind of team that would definitely put a start to that sort of a trend. I mean, years past, who knows what could have been the player or the vibe that was a turnoff to anybody not New York bound. But this team is, they're just full of heart. I mean, good. They're not teams that you would think, they're not guys on this team that you think, oh, superstar. Julius Randle's been hurt for so long. So it's sort of just, we've been watching Dante DiVincenzo. McBride has been one hell of a good story in these last couple months. Obviously, I mentioned Jalen, his friendship with Josh Hart, this Villanova connection, Hartenstein, like getting Mitchell Robinson back. To me, it's a very rootable team because it's not diva-based. It's not one superstar and some dudes built around him. It's a team of guys that are just going to fight. It doesn't matter who they're up against. It doesn't matter what game it is. I don't expect to ever watch a Knicks game this season and feel like I'm going to be let down in the heart department because I just genuinely feel like they're fighting for every single one of these wins. And if that is not something you can get behind as a sports fan, honestly, I'm not sure what to tell you.
Don and I sort of disagree about what equals a disappointment for this team, Beetle. Like, I tend to think that if the Knicks are mostly healthy and make the playoffs, Don feels like they have to get to the conference finals for it to really be a success. I sort of feel like this team, given the history, if they lost a hard-fought battle 7-game series in the second round, I don't see that as a failure. Well, what's your take on this?
I guess, I suppose the big variable in all of that is what does that roster look like come, you know, that level time? Because right now, I think the expectation is OG will be fine. Mitchell, you know, knock on wood, seems to be okay. Julius is the big question mark, of course. And I think that does matter. I don't know that I agree that the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think the pressure is on this Knicks team, put it this way, as it is on, obviously, Boston and definitely Milwaukee. I think those two teams are dealing with immense pressure, and they're honestly two teams that I don't 100% believe in come that time anyways. The fact that they both lost last night to inferior teams is just weird. It's a weird time of year. But I kind of with you, Peter, I think I'm leaning more towards if they can make a really competitive run second round, I'm okay with it. It would be disappointing, though, to get out before that. And that's with or without Julius Randle. Julius Randle back, I know I might tweak that a little bit. But I think, Peter, I'm closer to you.
Yeah, but the thing is, and you know how New Yorkers are, they create the expectation and you don't live up to it, you get beat up for it. But there's a reason why you want to finish with the 2 seed, right? Like, you don't want to, it's not sexy, oh, listen, we finished the 2 seed. You want the 2 seed, so that secures you having an easier trip to the conference final and to have to avoid Boston in any round but round 3. So to have home court advantage, to be able to be shorthanded and still fight through the Bucks and finish 2, yeah, I understand, I need to see what it looks like,
But I think having your season end the same place it ended last year, I think would be perceived as a disappointment.
So do you change that at all or tweak that at all with depending on who's healthy and who's not? Like if you don't have Julius Randle at all, let's say the postseason comes and goes and he just wasn't able to get back out on court, does that change that expectation at all?
I guess it could, but do you think they can get the two seed without Randle ever coming back? And if they do, that honestly, means you beat out the Bucks down the stretch without Randle.
Yeah, because what do they play Milwaukee one more time?
Yes.
Being a baseball and a game and a half back. Yeah, no, it's mathematically doable. I don't think they would do it without
Randle, Michelle. So if you did it without Randle, doesn't that change your perspective of what this team is without Randle?
It does a little bit. I think what we saw of Julius Randle this season, though, just felt different than how the season ended last year. Last season ended with fans tearing down Julius Randle posters as they left the Garden. Like, that was not awesome. And then changes are made, and it just felt like the team itself had a completely different energy about them, which is why it was such a bummer to see Randle go out when he did, because it really felt like they were building towards something special and different. I mean, I'm still optimistic that he comes back. I don't know what version of him comes back. I don't know how realistic it is to think he just slides right back in. But I would prefer to have a full-strength Knicks team and see what happens. And I get it. Like, the fan base is unlike most fan bases. I wouldn't say they're delusional. I think they're pretty realistic. Quiet. No, go ahead. Sorry, I'm outside. but I also think that the expectation is we could take Boston. We can beat Milwaukee. And I hear it on a daily basis because I live with a Knicks fan. Sometimes I do think they're delusional, but in a beautiful, charming way.
Beetle, are you fully dialed in this year? Like, will you be watching both nights of WrestleMania? Do we have you?
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's say I only have one night I can spare. Kidding, by the way. I have only night three. Is there one night that's going to be better than the other?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's hard to say because...
Are you allowed to say
it? No, because you have, on night one, on Saturday, you have a tag match with The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody and Seth. So how do you not watch The Rock wrestle for the first time during this whole thing? You kind of have to see that. But then the next night is when we get the Cody Rhodes-Roman Reigns championship match, and a lot's going to happen there. So it's kind of impossible to say, Beetle. It's kind of impossible.
I mean, the Rock thing, the Rock heel turn has been glorious. I mean, if there was ever a way to bring people back that might have wandered, it's turning the Rock full heel. Like, he's so unlikably perfect.
It's amazing. It almost makes you think, is he actually unlikable? No, I'm just kidding, Rock. Never. Beetle, you are the best.
The shirts are unlikable.
The Versace shirts are very unlikable.
And Michelle, if I'm not mistaken, you started to get into wrestling. We were together the day you started to get into wrestling.
Yes. Yeah.
We got to tell that story when we come back.
It was
a very bitter day for me. I was absolutely disgusted to be there. Michelle was there as like my support person.
Really?
And then next thing I know, I lost her because she started getting captivated by the wrestling. I got to tell that story when we come back. I think you know it.
Like heroin.
I need to hear it again. Yeah, I need to hear it again, though. Beetle, I look forward to talking to you Monday when we do Over the Top. Have a wonderful weekend.
Absolutely. Safe weekend, guys. Love you. Miss it.
Later. There she is.
Love you.
The wonderful Michelle Beetle. Truly one of the best humans you'll ever know. Don shaking his head and with just love.
Well, I'm shaking my head with that, and I want to apologize to the audience. I wasn't as engaged in that interview as I could be for what happened in the Met game.
Oh no. You want to talk about it when we get back?
Oh, you bet you're behind.
All right. We'll talk about that. Yeah, good job. First, though, let me talk to you guys about Security Dodge. Peter Rosenberg here. And Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters is Security Dodge. Come get some right now. You can get a 2023 Jeep Gladiator for up to 30% off MSRP. That's right. Up to 30% off MSRP. Don't forget about their 7-year, 100,000-mile certified pre-owned warranty on all certified pre-owns, all during the Jeep Celebration event. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com. All right, guys. When Michael's getting ready for the game, he did this yesterday. He prepares, all right? He gets his lineup cards. He gets his team stats. And, of course, pours himself a mug of Bigelow tea. For him, It's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps his voice in peak condition. Even when the game goes in extra innings, he refuses to settle. Neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea and take a moment just for you. Grab that mug of your favorite Bigelow tea and join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.